Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. It says, "Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom also ye are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, once again we come before your throne of grace, again thanking thee for your mercy and kindness upon us, for your great salvation, which is so freely given to those who don't deserve it. Father, we rejoice tonight to think that you would love us when we were unlovable, and we were yet without strength. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. We stand amazed tonight in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Lord, we would ask you now to bless the service this evening. We thank you for each and every one that has come out tonight. And Lord, just bless this study in a special way this evening. May we see a spark of revival kindled this evening. Bless this church. Father, we pray that we might indeed be fitly framed together. And as the household of God, that you would be pleased to dwell in our midst. Forgive us, Father, for our sins. In Jesus' name, we ask. This will be the last study on this series of things about the church, things Baptist distinctives, things that make us different from other churches. This will be the 12th lesson in a lesson of 12. And tonight, what we want to do, and we're going to have to move right along. I don't know if we'll be able to cover all of the scriptures that we have. Maybe if I call on some of the brethren to read some of the scriptures for me, we might be able to handle it. There's a lot of scriptures tonight. What we're going to do is we're going to go through the church covenant. And I think it's really going to be good. We haven't done this in a long time, and it's due. In fact, the timing is just right. Before we continue on, though, there's a couple other scriptures I want to read just in preparation for the lesson. In Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Hebrews 13, verses 16 through 21. "But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience, in all things willing to live honestly. I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Also over in the 10th chapter, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 22 through 25. "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. What I want to do is quickly now read through our church covenant, and then we'll go back and we'll break it up into sections and study it that way, reading some scriptures along with these thoughts in our church covenant. This is what we promise one another. You promise to do this for me. I promise to do this for you. We all promise to do this for one another. Having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and on the profession of our faith, having been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we do now, in the presence of God, angels, and this assembly, most solemnly and joyfully enter into covenant with one another as one body in Christ. We engage, therefore, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, to walk together in Christian love, to strive for the advancement of this church in knowledge, in holiness, and comfort, to promote its prosperity and spirituality, to sustain its worship, ordinances, discipline, and doctrines, to give it a sacred preeminence over all institutions of human origin, to contribute cheerfully and regularly to support of the ministry, the expenses of the church, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all nations. We also engage to maintain family and secret devotions, to religiously educate our children, to seek the salvation of our kindred and acquaintances, to walk circumspectly in the world, to be just in our dealings, faithful in our engagements, and exemplary in our deportment, to avoid all tattling, backbiting, and excessive anger, to abstain from the sale and use of intoxicating drink as a beverage, and to be zealous in our efforts to advance the kingdom of our Savior. We further engage to watch over one another in brotherly love, to remember each other in prayer, to aid each other in sickness and distress, to cultivate Christian sympathy in feeling and courtesy in speech, to be slow to take offense, but always ready for reconciliation and mindful of the rules of our Savior to secure it without delay. We moreover engage that when we remove from this place, that we will, as soon as possible, unite with some other church of like faith and order, where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's Word. We divided the church covenant up into four sections. One deals with salvation and baptism. One deals with the duties to the assembly. One deals with duties in personal Christian living. And the last one deals with duties to fellow individual members. Under salvation and baptism, of course, and we've studied already these in lessons previous, we know that we believe as a church, salvation by the grace of God, and scriptural baptism is the only kind of baptism that's baptism. John chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, talks about how that when we got saved because God gave us the power to be saved, the right to be saved through him. John 1, 11, he came to his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. It's the only way that you can be saved is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And even when you do that, it's not really you that's doing anything, it's God giving you the power. Matthew 28, of course, very familiar, the Great Commission. Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So we won't spend a whole lot of time on salvation and baptism. Let's move on to duties. And last time we had a lot to say about duties. We talked about the duties of the church, but it must be needed. Tonight, again, let's continue on with the duties to the assembly. Church covenant says that we promise to walk together in love. John 13, verses 34 and 35. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." I guess if there's one distinguishing mark that ought to mark us out as being different from everyone else, that ought to be it. Love for one another. We are to promote the advancement of the assembly. Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. And whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That's our duty. That's what we promise to do. We promise to stand and to strive together for the faith of the gospel. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Striving together for the furtherance of the cause of Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, instead of striving against one another. Second Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Second Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 2 Peter 3:11. I told you we're going to be turning to a lot of scriptures tonight, so be ready. 2 Peter 3:11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Promote the advancement of the assembly. We are to, and we promise to, sustain its worship and its ordinances and its discipline and its doctrine. We already read Hebrews 10:25, where it says we're to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. We've already read Matthew 28:19, where Jesus gave the Great Commission. Not too long ago we had a Bible conference. Jude 3 says that we are to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. In 1 Corinthians 11, we read this almost once a month over there, where it talks about, "For I received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." And I should probably be able to say that by memory. And break it after he gave thanks, and break it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." I think I've got it just about word for word so far. Verse 25, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup unworthily, that is, in an unworthy manner, because none of us, you know, a lot of people read this and say, well, I'm not worthy to take the Lord's Supper. None of us are worthy to take the Lord's Supper, except if we've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And if you've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus and God looks at you just as if you'd never sinned, would you dare say that you're not worthy of this? And God says you are. But what this is actually talking about is to observe the Lord's Supper properly, in a worthy manner. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. So, and then he goes on and tells us to examine ourselves. That's our duty, to walk together in love, to promote the advancement of the assembly, to sustain its worship and ordinances and its discipline and doctrine. We should give this church first place in our life. We should. Sometimes we do, but we don't always do it, do we? I know. I know from my own personal. And I know from your experience. We don't always do it. We don't. But we ought to. Our church ought to be number one in priorities in our life. Right up there on top. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We promise to contribute cheerfully and regularly. First Corinthians 16:2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings. We promise faithfully to support this church financially, regularly. We promise. Second Corinthians chapter 8. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. He's talking about the churches of Macedonia. These are local churches in Macedonia, in Europe, actually, that Paul had established during his missionary journeys. And as he traveled through, these people were poor people. These churches were poor churches. But they insisted that Paul and the people with him take some of their love offerings to go and disperse amongst the more needy saints in other places. They were willing, it says here, even beyond what they were able to do, to give of themselves. I should probably read this whole chapter. This whole chapter deals with giving with the right attitude and these things. Another duty to the assembly that we promise to follow and obey is to transfer our membership when we move. When we move to another place, as soon as possible, we're to seek out another church of like faith and transfer our membership. If there's not a church where wherever we're moving to, we have to really check and see if it's the Lord's will that we move there. Maybe it is. Maybe it's the Lord's will that we move there and establish a new church, a mission. But if there's no church there, you really better double check before you make the move. Sure, it might be a bigger paying job and all kinds of stuff like that. But what about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? You have to consider, you know, so many times we make our decisions forgetting about the Lord's church. Down south, you know, they got people church hopping. They get, you know, somebody looks at somebody crooked, and they jump over and they go to the church across the street. That's not the spirit of the church covenant. The spirit of the church covenant is when you move to another place where you can't attend here anymore, you find another church like this one and join up here. Then there's the duties in personal Christian living. We promise to have family and private devotions. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 and 18. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. How many have started their through the Bible in a year? I know some of you have. Working away, pressing on, right? Amen. We promise to do that. We promise to have our private devotions, to worship the Lord not just in church, but when we go home and throughout the week, to read our Bibles and to spend time in prayer. We promise. Before God, we promise one another we will do that. Acts 17:11. And these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Search the scriptures daily. Come Sunday morning, you hear Brother Gene teaching in the book of Romans. He jumps not only, he's teaching not only the book of Romans, he's jumping all over the Bible, isn't he? And you hear him say something, and you say, I'm going to go home and read my Bible, study that. I'm going to search the scriptures, see if that's really true. Amen. Or Brother Killian, he's preaching along, says something. He should say, I'm going to search my Bible. I'm going to read the scriptures. We promise to religiously educate our children. Remember in 2 Timothy 3:15, we're just talking about Timothy, how that of a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. We wonder sometimes, you know, we look at our children as they grow up and we wonder, where did I go wrong? This is one area where we usually fall short in religiously educating our children. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord with thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Teach your children. Yeah. When you go home, it's good. You ought to bring them to church. No doubt about that. But you ought to be doing more than that. When you're not in church, when you're just sitting around the house, you ought to be able to talk to your children about the Lord, about the things of God, about the Bible. You ought to be able to sit down and read the Bible with your children. Study the Word with them. When you're walking by the way, when you're out doing the things of leisure, maybe on a drive in the car or a camping trip some weekend or on vacation. We get so wrapped up, vacation time comes around, you know, and, oh boy, we're getting away, we go off maybe to the ocean or to the mountains or some to Hawaii or something like that. And we're so involved in having a vacation that we forget to read our Bibles. That ought to be one of the first things we put in our suitcase. The Word of God. We promise. You have promised. When you joined this church, you promised to do these things. God. Psalms 78, 5, 6, and 7. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Psalms 48:13. Mark you well her bulwarks, consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. As a church, one of the ways that we can see this church grow is to religiously educate our children. As they grow up, Lord begins to deal with them, work in their hearts and in their lives. Next thing you know, we'll be seeing them trust the Lord as their Savior and follow the Lord in baptism, become members of the church. We're to go out into the community and reach those too, but we can grow from within also. As families come in, we can see their children come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior as they faithfully fulfill the promises in the church covenant. Have family and private devotions to religiously educate our children. We promise to seek the lost. Acts 1:8. Brother Gene, would you look that one up? 1:8. Matthew 4:19. Brother Don, would you look that one up? Matthew 4:19. Psalms 126. Brother John. Psalms 126, verses 5 and 6. And Brother Art, Proverbs 11:30. We promise, before God, we promise one another that we will be faithful in seeking the lost. You ready, Brother Gene?
Yes, sir.
not. Amen. Fishers of men. Brother John. I always think of Brother Tweet when I read that verse. That's one of his favorite ones. He always quotes Proverbs 11. Amen. We promise to seek the lost. We promise to live right before the world. All of those that we have, that one paragraph in there where several things are, it says, and that sums it up right there in that one little phrase. We promise to live right before the world. To be just in our deportments and all that stuff, you know. That's what it means, to live right before the world. Ephesians 5:15, Brother Gene. Ephesians 5:15. Brother Don, Philippians 2:14 and 15. And Brother John, 1 Peter 2:11 and 12. These are the duties and personal Christian living that we promise to faithfully fulfill as members of this church. To have family devotions, to religiously educate our children, to seek the lost, and to live right before the world. For the gene. Amen. And Philippians 2. 14 and 15. Amen. We're to shine as light. Do all things without murmuring, without disputing, to live right before the world. A crooked and perverse generation. Well, I tell you, that sure describes our modern day generation. And 1 Peter 2:11 and 12. Hold your place there in 1 Peter 2 and skip down to verse 21, and we'll read that in a minute. Because the next point is to avoid gossip and anger. And I tell you, you know, when we fall short in some area, lots of times churches, they will be fairly faithful in doing these other things. But then they'll have a problem in an area like this right here, and it's just as bad. Going around, you know, gossiping. Getting angry with one another. We promise to avoid that. Brother Art, would you look up Ephesians 4:31? And Brother John, you probably already have it, 1 Peter 2:21. Brother Don, Colossians 3:8. And Brother Gene, James 3:1. Avoid gossip. Put away. 1 Peter 2:21. Christ. to be our example. You talk about somebody that was walked on, mistreated and abused. Somebody that didn't get what they deserved. Somebody that really got the raw end of the deal. Somebody that was lied on. What do you got to complain about? Colossians 3:8. James, Earl, were you done? Okay. James 3:1. Then also we promise to abstain from alcohol as a beverage. Habakkuk 2:15. Brother Art, would you look up that one? I'll give him that one and see if how fast he finds a Habakkuk. Okay. And Brother John, in Proverbs, the 23rd chapter, verses 29 through 35. Scriptures don't really teach total abstinence, but they do teach that as a child of God and as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we ought not to have the reputation of being a drinker. We ought not to be looked upon as one who would be indulgent in alcoholic beverages. So, therefore, we promise to abstain from the use of alcoholic beverages as a beverage. When we take, you know, first thing that the grape juicers always say is, well, you take wine in the Lord's Supper. That's different. That's the ordinance of the Lord's church. We're not taking that wine to satisfy some thirst or anything like that, or to get some kind of a buzz going or anything like that. When we take the wine of the Lord's Supper, we're remembering the Lord's death. And we know that wine is a symbolic reference to the sinless blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary for our sins. But other than that, we promise not to be a drinker. We're not going to have booze in our homes. When people come to our house, even over the holidays, they're not going to be offered an alcoholic drink. We promise that. When we go out for dinner, and they come and say, would you like a cocktail before dinner? We ought to say, we're Christians. We're members of the Lord's Baptist Church, and we don't partake of alcoholic beverages. We promise that. Did you find Habakkuk yet, brother? Oh, okay. All right. Let's see there. That was... Bible says, woe unto him that gives his neighbor drink. And in Proverbs 23, 29 through 35. Listen, I don't know if you've ever had any problems with alcohol or drugs or anything like that, but if you, that's such an accurate description of someone who's trapped with the drugs, with the drug of alcohol especially. They're miserable and they know it, but they keep on drinking. They wake up with a hangover. They wake up with the shakes. And the first thing they do is go right back to the bar. I know. But we promise, as members of this church, to abstain from alcohol as a beverage. We promise to be zealous for our Lord Jesus Christ, to be zealous with good works. Titus 2:14 says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. We promise to have a zeal for the things of God in our lives. And as duties to fellow individual members, we have some responsibilities there too. We promise to watch over each other in love. We promise to pray for each other. We promise to aid each other in sickness and in distress. We promise to cultivate sympathy for one another. We promise to cultivate courtesy in speech toward one another. We promise to be slow to take offense. And if for some reason we are offended, we promise to, as soon as possible, make reconciliation. First Peter 1:22, Brother Art. James 5:16, Brother John. Galatians 6:2. Brother Don, and also another one in James. I'll give it to you when we get there. Another one in 1 Peter. Whoever has 1 Peter, but we'll get that one again. And Brother Gene, Ephesians 4:30-32. Okay, in 1 Peter, Brother Art. Amen. Love one another with a pure heart. With true Christian love. We promise to do that. Also, to cultivate sympathy and courtesy in 1 Peter 3:8. 1 Peter 3:8. Yeah, that's one I didn't. I knew he was there, so I whipped it on him. And in James 5:16. Also, while we're in James, let's read the second chapter, verses 14 through 17. They aid one another in sickness and in distress. James 2:14-17. also Galatians 6:2. That's Galatians 6:2. Doesn't seem to fit that one. That thought that I had there, but that's a good one anyway.